Topic of this evening's sermon is, have you imprisoned yourself? You know, it was strange when I wrote this. I got to picturing Barney Fife on Andy Griffith when he'd accidentally slammed the cell door shut behind him and realized he didn't have the keys and he didn't self-imprison himself. This is not what we're talking about this evening. We're talking about freedom from your self-imprisonment. If you would, turn over to our text, which is Luke, the fourth chapter. I'll be reading Luke 4, 16 through 18. Luke 4, 16 through 18. And he being Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as it was a custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." Luke 4, 16 through 18. Many people today are in prison, and the prison they have built is, they're not behind stone walls or bars. There's an old saying, stone walls do not a prison make, or iron bars a cage. There is a stronger and more unyielding prison bar than one made of iron. It is a thought or attitude of life. Charles Dickens expressed it, "I wear the chain I forged in life. Indeed, we forge our own chains which enslave us." If you have been imprisoned by anything, your lust, your hates, your temptations, your resentments, your grudges, your sins, let Jesus Christ make you free. The first thing we're going to look at this evening is a prison of self-satisfaction. Many people do not want to be any different. They like to be self-satisfied. I've made this comment before, and I've talked to many people, and it's a sad thing that I state. There are people out there that say, "I like to sin, so therefore I'm going to sin." What is this? Self-satisfying attitude. We as Christians cannot have this attitude. You can not overcome a weakness by giving in to it. If one has a problem of stage fright, he may overcome it by getting up in front of a crowd and working on his fright. I tell you, the first time I preached, I had a nice little sermon. Well, actually, it was a long sermon prepared. I got up there in my hands. I figured water was just pouring out of the palm of my hands. They were sweating so bad. And I was so nervous that I was talking 90 miles an hour. I could have been an auctioneer that night, and next thing you know, 10 minutes had gone by, and I'd done preached a 30-minute sermon in 10 minutes. And then I sat there and looked at the clock thinking, what am I going to do for the next 20 minutes? But the way you get over that is by getting up here time and time and time again. I heard them tell a story when I was at school about a old preacher that they was preaching in an old church building. There was doors on both sides of the baptistry going out the back door. He got up there to preach, and he got so nervous that he ran out the door and took off out through the woods and fell over a log. And he said as he laid there on the ground thinking, well, where was I going to begin with? So he got up, dusted himself off, and went back in and started preaching. This is what we must do. If one has a lazy, easy life complex, he may overcome it by working and assuming responsibilities. He may not be very well do very well at it at first, but the more he does it, the better he gets. When we're kids in school, we start reading. We may read terrible, but the more we read, the better we get. Mathematics, our alphabet, all, we get better the more we do them. We should make improvements and grow. Turn over to 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. What does a newborn baby want to do? He has a desire of the sincere milk of the word, so he may grow. We need to have the same attitude. If we run a race, we expect to get better. The more we train and finish the race as a winner. But it takes going out there and exercising, doing it. Tom talked about this in his Bible class this morning. We have to work at Christianity. We can't just come in here and be baptized and then say, well, that's it. That's all I have to do. It takes getting up every day of our lives, praying multiple times a day to God, reading our Bible, dwelling on the things that are in the Bible. If we do these things, we will grow. Turn over to Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that has set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:2. I don't know if any of you have ever trained for a race or not, but I remember back in high school seeing the guys that were on the track team, and you'd see these weights around their ankles. They'd wear them for days. They wouldn't wear them during the race. They'd take them off during the race because it made them feel lighter. Felt like they were floating. What do you think sin is doing to us? It's weighing us down. It's bogging us down. Once we get rid of that sin, man, we feel light as a feather. A racer does not focus on the things behind them, but on the things which are in front of them, so they can win the race. I want you to think for a second. If you've done any running whatsoever, if you're looking behind you, it's hard for you to breathe. It cuts off the air to your lungs because your body's twisted. You don't need to be focusing on what's behind you. You need to be focusing on what's in front of you. I had a woman call me from Ohio the other day, and we were talking, and she's got a lot of problems in